Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Hi. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The whole show has been basically about Nick Caserio being hired by the Houston Texans. That announcement will come today. Listen, hopefully he's going to be a great GM. Hopefully he's going to do great with the draft. Hopefully he'll fix this roster problem. Hopefully he'll fix this the salary cap problem, this issue that they have. I mean, it's a horror. Bill O'Brien has left this in a mess, in a horrible situation. A 4-win team. I saw Rivers McCown put out a piece about the hiring, but he also put in it a stat about Deshaun Watson. His performance this year it's unprecedented to have a quarterback that has performed this well and win four games. It is unprecedented. You've had quarterbacks who've had unbelievable seasons but won six games, eight games, but you've never had a quarterback that's played this well that has won just four games. So this is a record-setting performance by the Houston Texans. Congratulations.
You can't say they're middling anymore like you normally do when we talk about stats. Oh, what are they, 15, 16, 17?
Yeah.
Not this time.
No. They're piss poor.
Atrocious. They're
terrible. No, it's a technical term, piss poor.
No, it's not a technical term.
Yeah.
It's not written anywhere in any technical sheet, piss poor. But they are. They're terrible.
It's unbelievable. And the wins were,
Jags
points
twice.
Out Jake Luton almost beat you.
They beat the Jags twice, barely one of those times.
Yeah.
Who else did they beat?
Who did they beat this year here?
The Lions on Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, and that got their coach fired. Mm-hmm. You lose to the Texans and you get
as
fired.
As well, you should.
And then the other win was New England.
Yes.
So
three of their victories are coming versus teams who fired the coach. Three of the four, and the other one against a team we pointed out that their roster is very depleted. Some of that having to do with opt outs. They did lose multiple contributors and starters. But a team pretty much devoid of talent they beat as well.
Yeah, I mean, they were awful at that time.
And Cam finished the year not being able to throw the football. So it was a great season. And your reward, you bring on the guy who was one of the architects of that awful New England roster.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get the pick till the third round. That's your reward.
And yet, this is one of the most coveted jobs.
Because you have number four.
Who because appears you have to be number four.
Apparently maybe not thrilled, depending on how you read his tweet.
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, Lance's brother, Mike, said it's 100% about Kenosha. I'm not so sure.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not so sure.
We pointed out that he's been very cryptic about Texan stuff in the past. There's no need to be cryptic about Kenosha if he doesn't. That might have been what he chose. I don't know.
I don't know either. It could well be about Kenosha, but it's more than like, hey, Deshaun has been cryptic about the Texans before. And you know what? If Deshaun is disgruntled, if Deshaun doesn't want to be here, this is a much different situation than James Harden. I'm not saying that Deshaun doesn't, but let's say Deshaun doesn't. Let's say Deshaun goes behind the scenes and says, man, you know what? Patriots South sucks. Patriots South just sucks. What are we doing here? This whole organization that Deshaun doesn't have confidence in Cal McNair,
would that be surprising?
That's crazy.
No,
that's not crazy at all. Deshaun was just talking about all the people with all their hands in the pie, all the power that everybody thinks they have in this. It needs a culture change. It needs one guy, and maybe Nick Caserio is that guy. Maybe Nick Caserio is that guy, that he's going to step in here. He's going to structure the organization in the correct way. I'm thrilled that they hired a GM before they hired a coach. I'm hoping that it's Nick Caserio that makes the choice. Maybe it's Bob Lamont that makes the choice. I don't know. Bob Lamont is his agent. He's Jack Easterby's agent. Maybe Bob Lamont is the one pulling all the strings here. I don't know. But I do know that I'm happy that they hired Caserio first. And listen, if this happened a year ago when they named Bill O'Brien the head coach, or a year and a half ago when they tried to get Caserio the first time, we'd all be thrilled, wouldn't we? We were happy. Nick Caserio, all right. Awesome.
Why would we have been thrilled?
Because we had a very high opinion of Nick Caserio.
That's my question. Why?
Because we didn't see this Patriots team.
Oh, yeah.
And the Patriots have 6 Super Bowl rings. And by the way, they have had talent. They have made great moves. They know how to work the cap. They know how to get rid of players before those players become extinct, before they lose value. They've done this for years now and stayed at the top of the NFL game for years. None of that disappears. What we see is the most recent thing, this Patriots team, it sucked. Talent sucked. Now, a lot of guys opted out, too.
Yeah, Dante Hightower and Patrick Trump, most prominent among them. I don't think, even when they were winning a lot of games, I don't think the Patriots had a great roster.
No, they didn't. They had a lot of good players.
They had good players, but they didn't have a great roster. And the draft picks, we've gone through it. We've shown they have not been good.
No, the draft picks have not been really bad. And Mike Garofalo's, theory about, well, if an undrafted free agent is playing better than a second round pick, Bill Belichick's not afraid to get rid of him. Well, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Stop drafting second rounders who stink. Yeah. Why is an undrafted free agent playing better than the second rounder?
Yeah, your undrafted free agent should be this revelation, like, wow, we really hit on one there. But he shouldn't be completely outplaying the guy, you decided to, in this case, waste a second round pick on.
You pinpointed
that's one of your guys you want. Yeah,
and you completely missed. And oh, by the way, this is not the NBA draft. Okay, there's more than 4 players in it.
Yeah, that Phil Yates, I took issue with that. I talked about it during the break. He mentioned, well, the Patriots don't really draft high, so that affects their draft. I talked to the Ravens. Now, the Ravens don't hit everything out of the park, but they haven't drafted high in years. And it didn't affect Ozzie Newsome in acquiring really good players.
Yeah, and I don't know. If you guys have got thoughts on this, just the whole optics of it is just horrible.
We just hope it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No. I hope Caserio is great. I hope he's great. And listen, I don't care what Jack Easterby's his problem, though. Jack Easterby, if he wants Jack Easterby in there, I don't know. I'm not close enough to the situation. I would think Jack Easterby backstabbing behind the scenes, mm-hmm. I think that's those days are probably over.
Well, yeah. Well, apparently he got his guy, and that's the guy he's backing. And Caserio will want Jack there, apparently, and he'll just tell Jack, no football stuff for you. And hopefully that's how it works. My biggest concern continues to be the recent resume of Caserio tells me they likely didn't hire best, because any guy they would hire wouldn't have had extensive GM experience, at least in name. He wouldn't have been the guy, because you can't do that. You have to give a guy an elevation to hire him. But is he really the best guy? If he wasn't who he is and who he knows, would someone else have gotten the job?
Well,
that's my biggest
issue. The most important thing for me is his process. And what is the process? Because Bill Belichick might have been the final say, and Nick Caserio might have said, or they don't listen. Did you hear Garofalo said they don't listen to their scouts?
Yes.
Is that a good way to go about it? Is that how we're doing it?
Not if you look at their recent track record, it's not.
No, how about an organization that takes everybody's opinions into mind, and then one person makes that final decision? And that final decision might have been Bill Belichick, and he might have been really terrible at it. So Nick Caserio may be good, but what's their process on this thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's their how do they go about this to find the best damn players for this organization? That's the most important thing.
And I would just assume, because when you're not the guy in charge, you're not the GM, you're what you do and don't do is murky. Because if you're hiring the guy who isn't the guy, then are you really sure on what he is doing and not doing? But it just is very Texans-like to bring in a guy whose responsibilities were murky at his other job. Like, we're not quite sure what you could do and what you couldn't do, who had final say. It's just the Texans' way to bring in another guy who we're not exactly sure.
That's how the Texans have operated for years.
Yeah.
1012 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Come on, what do you think?
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 1015 ESPN 97.5. Get up on the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. 713-780-377. Your thoughts on the Caserio hire. And maybe we're overreacting and thinking this thing, hey, it's a GM. It's a good GM. We would have been happy with this a year ago. We would have been happy with this a year and a half ago. We'll see. You know what? He's a six-time Super Bowl champion. You get championship DNA in here. Mm-hmm. Knows a culture of winning while it was Belichick's culture. You know, maybe you can bring that here and a culture of winning as opposed to what the Texans have.
Well, you tried that before. And as a head coach, Bill O'Brien, above average, probably even better than that. And you just decided because what you laid out, not being able to get Nick Caserio to hand over all control, and the Patriots way or the Bill O'Brien way, whatever you called it, didn't work. I think people are tired of the Patriots
that
stuff.
That was still murky, though, because Bill O'Brien was wresting power away from Rick Smith. Rick Smith was, he was amenable to giving Bill his way in drafts. Not so much on the Deshaun Watson, which allegedly Bill O'Brien didn't want Deshaun Watson. And it turned out to be the best move the Texans ever made. You know, it was murky. Who was in charge? Who was, you know, now it's not going to be, there's none of that. Nick Caserio is in charge. Nick Caserio is the guy. So the Texans finally have that, and maybe it'll pay off. Maybe he can bring a winning culture to this organization. Hopefully he can convince Deshaun of that, even though it's going to take a little while. That's another thing. Is, by the way, Deshaun, you're not winning next year. By the way, it's going to take a few years to get this thing right. It's so messed up. It's so messed up. And maybe that's why the more things change. ... KJ's here. What's up, KJ?
What's up, JG? Happy New Year to you and Dale. I don't know if LZ's still sitting there, but I was just going to call and depress y'all for a second.
Go ahead.
Look at the timeline. Patriots ring ceremony, 2019, June 6th. Brian Gaines fired, June 7th. Laramie Tunzel traded, August 31st. So bottom line is, they very well could have gotten Caserio, if they'd have pressed the issue and not been a wussy, like I already said, we know Cal McNair is, and you could have got Caserio, and you wouldn't have got raked for the Laramie Tunzel trade, and I'm sure they wouldn't have traded. He wouldn't have allowed them to trade Hopkins for what they traded him for. So it's all bottom line is that the ownership is just weak and has no – he just doesn't have any backbone to tell, you know, to go against the Patriots like he did last year, and he has no backbone. He had no backbone when it comes to Bill O'Brien, and obviously Jack is still doing the puppeteer thing to him. My best friend I work with every day tells me, man, I don't know why you do this to yourself, because I watch the game or watch the replays that's put up or plays that's put up on Twitter. He says, you're just going to drive yourself crazy. That's what I hate about this team most. They just make you drive yourself crazy. Y'all have a good day.
All right, KJ. Yeah, you know, so listen, I was pissed that the Patriots, you know, charges of tampering, that the Texans just folded and, no, okay, we're sorry. We're sorry, Robert Kraft. And they actually apologized to Robert Kraft. I was pissed because a clause that the Patriots put in their contract does not supersede NFL rules. And I said that at the time. And what the hell are you doing, Texans. You can't. They can't have a clause. They could have put. They could put any clause on a contract. Doesn't mean that it's going to hold up. You were offering a positional raise to Nick Caserio, and by NFL rules, you can pluck another employee off of an employee off of another team if you're giving him a raise in position. And the Texans balked, and the Texans were scared.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah, well, they didn't have any knowledge. That was, and so you're right. It could have avoided. Man, this who knows what this roster would be today with Caserio at the helm a year and a half ago. Who knows?
Yeah, you'd probably still have Bill O'Brien as your coach, which some people would be pissed off about anyway. But
that's true.
He would likely still be here.
That is true. Maybe they would, or maybe by this time, you know, with Nick Caserio not doing what Bill O'Brien wanted,
yeah, to be fair,
he would have had to have gotten rid of Nick Caserio.
Caserio might not be here either way. He might not have been here right at this point.
Or Bill O'Brien wouldn't be here.
Yeah, one of the two. I would say if it went down the way they wanted it to, one of the two wouldn't be here right
Bill
now.
Bill O'Brien would have lost that power battle, though, because they did hire him as Caserio as the GM. But he would have never allowed him to give up two firsts and a second for Stills and Tunsil.
Even though, so how would that have worked if Bill O'Brien was already here? Wouldn't he be rubber stamping the hiring of Nick Caserio? So who actually has the power? Who has final say in that case? Nick Caserio is used to the coach having final say.
Yeah, he is. He is. So maybe it worked out the best for Caserio that he doesn't have anybody to answer to now.
Yeah.
Lazy J, what's up, Lazy J?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Yeah, I just want to get in and talk about LeBron for a little bit. I don't want to talk about the whole debate of who's better, LeBron or MJ. I just want to get y'all guys' thoughts. I was watching, again, the Last Dance, and I was just thinking, you think that LeBron looks at Jordan as more of a father figure, and when he finally met him in person, and he didn't embrace him like he thought? And you know how you're fatherless, and you don't have a dad, and then when you finally meet him, are you just an a-hole? So you want to be better than everything that he did? What do you guys think about that? Do you think it's more of a vendetta that LeBron, like, MJ embraced Allen Iverson, embraced Kobe Bryant? I mean, I understand that, you know, he had a lot of hype around him, but if you go back and look at the Sports Illustrated, LeBron surpassed all the aspirates or whatever they call that. He surpassed everything from Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated didn't even have LeBron being this good.
Okay.
I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Here's my thoughts on that. I ain't thinking about that. Who gives a rat's ass? You know what? April called. They want their phone call back. Okay? The Last Dance was in April. No one cares about that right now, Lazy J.
Well, he's a giant LeBron.
Oh, I know. So get off his nuts.
He thinks about him all the time.
Get off LeBron's nuts. Who cares? It's Nick Caserio. We got a Texans GM, and you're calling about LeBron and MJ?
He loves them.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if I've ever considered.
Stop slurping him up.
The LeBron-Michael Jordan relationship. It's never been a concern of mine.
I don't care.
I don't know that LeBron looked at him as a father figure. I don't know.
What do you guys think about it? I don't.
I've never thought about it.
Never thought about it.
And now that you've brought it up, I will continue not to think about it.
You're the only one. You go to bed at night.
The thing is, he's probably not the only one. He's just the only one who would call this show about it.
Maybe. But right? Who? What?
He's not a Texan fan. He doesn't care about
this.
That
was a question for April or May when The Last Dance was on.
Do I think it's a vendetta? I don't care if it's a vendetta.
No care. I don't care. I hope Sports Illustrated hates LeBron.
I hope LeBron does.
Like Mike. I do.
Why do you hate LeBron? What did he do to you?
I don't care about LeBron.
Exactly.
No.
You know what?
I'm like you. I don't care enough about LeBron
exactly.
to hate him.
I don't care. I hope LeBron does have a vendetta against Jordan. And when he has his Hall of Fame speech at some point, he goes, F Mike. I hope he does. That would be entertaining. But other than that, those are my thoughts. I'm done.
My goodness. What the hell?
He loves him. Like, far too much. Like, as much as Lance likes pretty feet, that's how much Lazy J loves LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
You know, Is it more disturbing than that guy who said he just wanted to me to write something on a piece of paper?
Yeah.
And he would give me something in return?
Yeah.
which is weirder.
He could have you. He could have your writing.
My handwriting on a piece of paper.
Yeah. I mean, goodness gracious.
Lazy J, call into the LeBron podcast for that. Or start your own. They're easy to do. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No. Man. Lazy J, go get a... Yeah. Go sit outside LeBron's house. Don't write stuff on his garage.
Yeah,
though.
That's not good. Get yourself in trouble.
Don't write stuff on his garage.
I mean, you could maybe you should debate who's the biggest influential star in their sport, Ronaldo and LeBron, but keep it to yourself. Like, have that debate with yourself. I know you love both of them.
Yeah.
Don't bring it here.
LeBron and MJ.
A little weird. That call was a little weird, wasn't it? A little weird.
Man. Catch up, Lazy J.
Oh, his life is LeBron. What do you mean catch up?
Does he have LeBron underwear? And he rubs
I know
him, he rubs them hard.
I don't know about that. I'm sure he has jerseys, multiple from each stop. Ladies and gentlemen, you one of those people who Photoshop LeBron into different jerseys and post them on Twitter? Are you one of those people? I feel like you are.
Man. All right. There's our LeBron MJ talk today. Good thing we got that in.
Really, it was just us taking shots at Lazy J, which I appreciate. Thanks, Lazy J, for derailing.
Yeah, way to derail the show. All right, 713-780-3776. You've got some thoughts about LeBron and MJ?
Should we ban him again?
We should.
You're done for a week.
You can't call in for a week with that call. With one of the worst calls we've ever had. Gilbert made more sense than
at least
call.
Gilbert talks about the Texans for a second.
Yeah. Sick. I'm sick right now.
I really think that the warehouse should have one of those. Is it called a soap party where they put a bar of soap in a towel and whack him with it a couple times? What are those things called?
Or is it a Texas Rangers party, towel
Ooh,
party?
I don't want – he might like that. I'm not sure.
I don't want one of those.
Yeah.
All I want to do is take a break.
ESPN. 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Trevor Lawrence officially declaring for the draft. Jacksonville very happy about that. What else? Oh, you Texas fans? Kyle Flood going to take the offensive line job. He is the Alabama offensive line coach. Joe Brady is going to interview with the Falcons. That is going on. What else has happened this morning? This is Caleb Mills transferring. Not a good thing for the Cougs.
No, you talked about it. His reduced role. The article certainly discusses the injury and his and apparently not thrilled with his role currently. I think he was the AAC preseason conference player of the year.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely a guy who, if he was locked in and getting as he was getting healthier, would have been a big component in a potential tournament run. No longer there. Decides he wants out. So that's a knock on for the Cougs.
Pete Thamel says the WAC is a realigning, apparently. Or the WAC, did it just fold? The WAC folded, didn't it?
The WAC still plays football, but you won't recognize. They're not the traditional names because, you know, San Diego State was in it at one point.
Yeah.
But that was a long time
ago. They're moving to FCS.
Yeah, because you look at who their football programs were. These weren't teams I don't think anybody really saw on TV. I can't remember what they are now. But
here they are. The seven WAC members are Abilene Christian.
There it is.
Lamar, Sam Houston, Stephen F. Austin, Southern Utah, Tarleton State, and Dixie State.
Yeah, that's where they that's what they had become.
Yeah. It seems like that's a lot of travel to Southern Utah. But it's not so bad. Anyway, that's going to be they're going to be FCS now, the WAC. But it's not like, well, that's what Stephen F. and Sam Houston had.
They're already, the Stephen F. There are FCS right
now.
There
are already FCS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Texas.
They're just moving over there today.
So is Texas State dropping to FCS?
No.
Okay. So Texas they're going to be State an independent?
I don't know what they're doing with the. What about the Southland? What about the. I don't know what's going on there.
Because Texas State was. Well, they're in the Sun Belt. I don't know why they had them under the WAC.
No.
I was looking at some games and they had them under the WAC for some reason. They're a Sun Belt team. So they're in the FBS.
The Southland Conference. Sam Houston State is leaving it. I guess they're moving to the. They're now they're moving to. It's was Abilene Christian, Stephen F. Austin, Southland, Sam Houston State. They're leaving behind Houston Baptist, Central Arkansas, A&M Christie, Southeastern, McNeese, Nichols. Lamar is going with them. New Orleans and Northwestern State. They still got enough for a conference at the Southland. They're but the other schools are leaving them now. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, Nick Caserio, obviously the biggest. Listen, I'm hoping Nick Caserio is great. Nick Caserio makes a bunch of great decisions. I hope Jack Easterby finds his, you know, perfect spot in the organization. I hope all of this drama, backstabbing, it just seems like it's been just such a soap opera over there, and it's just so. Let's get back to football. Let's get back to getting good football players in here. Let's get back to, you know, winning some football games. Hopefully Nick Caserio puts together an organization that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a class of the league. You know what? And that will all may well happen. It's just the optics of it 2 days after the Patriots season ended, one interview, gone, baited. They interviewed a couple other guys. It seems like it was all smokescreen. This was the guy all along. Mike Garofalo says this was not who Corn Ferry. They hire Corn Ferry, and then Corn Ferry is not a part of the hiring process because he wasn't on their list. But this was all a foregone conclusion, maybe even as long as a year and a half ago when the Texans were accused of tampering with him. And Jackie asked, wasn't the tampering when Jack Easterby talked to him behind the scenes at the ring ceremony? Quite possibly. But you know what? That wouldn't have been a very, as opposed to going through the proper channels. No, that the Patriots said, no, there's a clause in his contract. And that was the tampering. Although they probably could have made a case for Caserio going behind the scenes and talking to him at the ring ceremony. They probably could have made that argument. That wouldn't have been nearly as penal, though, as violating his contract terms. But again, the NFL rules state that if you're going to take a higher position in another organization, that you will be, that your contract with that organization would be nullified. The Patriots had a clause in there that said he couldn't go to another, which violates NFL rules. The Texans had an argument to hire him a year and a half ago, but they folded. Chris is here. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say, you know, with the Jack Easterby stuff, I'll be brief on that, but then I want to get to the Rockets. I think all this stuff, it all starts with Cal at the top. They can't make a positive change without him being in on it, and I just don't place my faith in Cal. That being said, I want to get over to the Rockets. Ask you guys' opinion. I noticed they had David Nwaba in on the lineup starting the last game, and I know there's a few guys out, but I was wondering, what has he shown to prove that he should be a starter at any, like, rate? Is Stephen Silas seeing something that I haven't seen in any of the games I've seen him play? They were talking about him being a good shooter, and then he goes 0-for-4 from the free throw line in the last game he played. I'm just wondering if you guys maybe have some insight. What made them start him, and why would we even want to see him again in the future based off of what we saw in the last game? I'll hang up and let the guys think.
Well, that's hard to answer. We don't see other practices. Maybe he's a great practice player. Maybe he's a guy that Stephen Silas thinks is going to actually, you know, early on here. I mean, dude has played 165 NBA games now. But he's still a young player, still finding his way. He started 40 games in his career. He started three now with the Rockets, three of their four. I can't tell you. You know, coaches see different things in different guys, and maybe guys are coming along slowly. But this, it's too small a sample size, four games into his Rockets career, to say he can't play.
Yeah, and we don't know what his role would be if Daniel House was healthy. Daniel House would probably, definitely would be in the starting lineup. That was the implication. That's the thought, particularly in the preseason. Nwaba is a bench guy who they put in the role. And who are your options? I guess you could play Jayshon Tate there if you wanted to, or insert Eric Gordon. But maybe they see Eric Gordon as his best role being a bench scorer. And with Nwaba, he's supposed to bring a bit of a defensive presence, which, I mean,
ain't something they need.
Which is something that helps, what they definitely need, as you mentioned. So, and it's, like you said, four games in, well, now five games in, the coaches are experimenting with lineups. This is what the early part of the season is going to be. You're going to see guys, and if Nwaba doesn't play well again, he may get another start. And then maybe Steven Silas feels like, maybe I throw Jayshon Tate in the lineup. I think this is all making do until Daniel House gets back anyway.
Yeah. Until they're completely healthy too.
Yeah.
You know, last year he flashed some. He shot 43% from three. He shot 52% from the field. Maybe in practice he lights it up. I don't know, but that Steven Silas knows more about his team than we do, and sometimes guys take a little time. We'll see. Maybe Nwaba's going to be a great player. We don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that. So far not so good. So far not great.
Well, he amongst many Rockets. Well, not many, but plenty of Rockets who aren't playing great.
Yeah,
yeah. The team ain't playing great.
The team's not that good.
No.
You know, but it's because of James' ankle.
Oh, he only missed one game, John.
I know, but it's his
ankle. And they
ankle.
Won that game anyway.
Yeah. Is Nwaba the new Jason Giambi call? Or who is the...
Well, you weren't here for that, were you?
No.
Where these guys kept referring to Jason Giambi as guys the Texans or the Rockets should hire. I forgot what it was. It was pretty much saying, hey, don't you think they should hire someone like Jason Giambi? We're like, Jason Giambi? That happened once, and then it kept happening, and then eventually we're like, okay, you're calling the wrong show if you're trying to upset people. We don't care about that stuff.
Yeah. The Dream Shake says, that call was weird. Nwaba is a legit defender and a decent offensive player. And that's another thing, too. Yeah, the defensive side of the
ball. Yeah, I think he is there to play defense.
Yeah.
And he'll get his shots just like P.J. Tucker will. I mean, they're not looking at him to be an offensive threat. Make a couple open shots, and I guess the game that you watched, he didn't make those shots.
No, he well, no. I mean, he was 2 of 6 in that game, in the last game. Okay.
All right.
He missed 4 shots?
Yes.
I don't know. David Nwaba is not the key to this season.
No.
David Nwaba is just a whatevs.
He's a guy who wouldn't be playing.
He was 0 for 4 from the free throw.
Yeah, yeah. That was part that upset him as well.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be playing if Daniel House was healthy. I'd think of it that way. They're trying to make do until they get one of their starters back. And he chose to play Nwaba. Will David Nwaba play 29 minutes in their next game? I don't know. It's not a guarantee. And they got in Indiana. They're on the road at Indiana, who's playing pretty well. All of a sudden, Victor Oladipo is back to the guy people thought was going to be a perennial all-star.
He might like Jayshon off the bench more. He might like Brown off the bench more. I guess. I don't know. Maybe he just feels like Nwaba for his, you know, 20 minutes is going to be. He actually played 29 minutes.
Yeah, 29.
Wow. Yeah. Not a big contributor at 29 minutes. 10-41.
He's just a guy.
Yeah, that's all. He's not the key to the season. 1041 ESPN 975 73780 3776. News of the weird. Weird coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 975. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Press Box is next. They'll have all kinds of Casario talk. So this is just a little break. This entire show was Nick Casario. So hope you enjoyed it. And I'm sure the rest of the day and for days to come going to be about Nick Casario and the Houston Texans and the direction of the club. But for right now, let's talk about some weird stuff. Denmark has a children's television show, Dell. It's a little bit different. It's about a man with a giant unit. He cannot control it either. And apparently it does stuff. As you can see, it's kind of a weird thing. It comes out, can you see it about coming out from the bottom of his pants? And it actually, it is dousing a lighter fluid on the grill. That's what his thing is, his penis is doing.
And for kids.
It can hold things. It's actually, he doesn't need his hands.
And it's on a kid.
It's a kid's television show.
But it's not a cartoon.
John Dillerman has an extraordinary penis. So extraordinary, in fact, that it can perform rescue operations, etch murals, hoist a flag, and even steal ice cream from children. It's an animated series aimed at 4 to 8-year-olds about John Dillerman.
And it got, yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
It's almost looks like stop animation almost.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why this is needed.
It's about a man who, the idea of a man who cannot control his penis. That's every man.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe this is a life lesson to the kids.
That if you don't control your penis, bad things will happen. But he's saving people, right?
Mm-hmm.
With this uncontrollable penis?
Well, but it's uncontrollable, so it does other stuff. Right here, it's a picture of him. Actually, his penis is holding a lighter fluid, and it's dousing the grill. Unfortunately, there's already food on the grill.
The show depicts a man who is impulsive and not always in control. So he's a man.
He's a man.
Who makes mistakes.
He can't control his penis.
Like kids do. But crucially, Dillerman makes it right. He takes responsibilities for his actions. When a woman in the show tells him that he should keep his penis in his pants, for instance, he listens, which is nice. He is accountable. So he's an ally?
I don't know. I don't know that I want the kids watching this.
By the way, Diller is slang for penis in Danish.
Oh, it is?
So Diller Man is literally translated into penis man. Diller Man.
Well, they're not trying to hide anything on this show.
Well, no. If a guy has an uncontrollable penis, you might as well name him Penis Man.
Yeah. Speaking of which, it looks like Kim and Kanye are going to get divorced.
Sad for those two.
Yeah. Are you sad?
No. I didn't really know them at all, so their divorce doesn't affect me so much. I mean, it'll be great content for their show. How are their ratings doing on that show? Maybe this is a ratings ploy.
You think?
I don't know. We know that family's about that business.
Oh, yeah. No.
And about
they'll do anything to become... I mean, we know that about Kim. She'll do anything to
become
popular.
I'm going to ask you to remove any familial connections. If you knew a woman, just a woman, who, if I could guarantee her this type of success based off of that video, would you say that's a good idea?
It's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like,
why do it for free when you can get paid?
But you could parlay that into this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest sex tape of all time. Not the actual visuals in it, but what it prospered. Yeah. Shout out to Kim for getting that done.
Yeah. No, good way to go, Kim. No, I ain't going to hate on that.
No.
Using that thing to get some money? Yeah.
When you say that thing, what are you talking
about? You
know
that thing.
I thought you were talking about the
apparently,
the video.
South Africa has a problem.
South Africa?
Thousands of beer bottle caps were stolen. The warning states that illegal alcohol makers and sellers will collect empty bottles from major brands and then reseal them with the stolen bottle caps. This alleged makes the bottles look like an officially produced product, which is then sold to unknowing customers. But I don't know that that's all that healthy, Del.
Which is worse, this or when we found out that that company was repurposing used condoms?
Oh, no. Used condoms is the worst thing ever.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I'd much rather drink out of this bottle than the repurposed condom.
Yeah, it's recycled.
No, that person should spend the rest of his life in prison. Apparently, an Amazon driver was caught on a doorbell camera wishing for that big booty bia. Only he said the word.
I understand wishing for things like that.
Yeah. I need a nice hot chocolate and a big booty bia.
I mean, there are worse things to ask for.
No. Actually, who doesn't?
And to be honest, I thought you were going to go with that story where there was a guy, I think he was a UPS driver, and he got caught on one of those doorbell cameras screaming epitaphs because of the name. I think it was a Spanish name, and he just went all, how do I put this? He went MAGA crazy. I'm just going to say that. And it didn't go well for him because, you know, those things are filmed, and he lost his job. I thought that was the story. But this one is nice.
Yeah, this is
hot
yeah.
chocolate and a big booty.
I want a hot chocolate and a big booty.
Hey, man, I understand. Sometimes when you give me these stories,
who doesn't?
I don't get it, why people are doing things like when a teacher does something dumb, like, what are you, dumb? Stop. This, completely understandable.
Yeah.
In fact, I endorse it.
I mean, unless you don't like hot chocolate. I mean.
In fact, to be honest, out of the two things, they say pick one. One has to go. Hot
chocolate. No question.
Hot chocolate has to go.
Are you crazy? I love hot chocolate, but please. There's no comp. No. Tony Romo might have to call the Saints Bears playoff game remotely. Are you sad?
No, because I don't think I want to watch that game anyway. I don't want to see the Bears in the playoffs. I don't want to see Trubisky in the playoffs. That ain't entertaining. Is that the least entertaining matchup? Who wants to see the Bears play?
Yeah, no, I don't. This is.
I don't
want
to see
that. I don't want any part of that. Did you see? Looks like Dr. Dre is better.
Yeah, if you missed it, everyone, Dr. Dre had an aneurysm, and hospitalized, obviously. And good news that he looks to be on the way to recovery. Of course, people were tweeting out, "We're never getting Detox now." Detox was the long-awaited album that he.
Yeah.
Doesn't
Childish Altuve ask all the time, when is Dr. Dre dropping?
And someone else close to us said, we're not ever getting that album. I was like, okay. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Ask Dana when Dr. Dre's new album is dropping.
Yeah. Dana, I'm trying to win football games. Dr. Dre. Yeah, I've been waiting 20 years. What's he going to say?
No, he's down. Dana, we're not asking him that.
How come we don't ask him about Netflix?
Art, we ain't asking him about that. We ask Cliff about Netflix. We don't ask Dana. Apparently, in Australia, Cam Faust and Kevin Joyner came up upon a discovery. They were going fishing, laying crab traps in East Point, when they stumbled across a naked fugitive living off snails, hiding in a croc-infested mangrove. If you were naked, would you want to be in a croc-infested mangrove eating snails?
Nudity can be removed from the question. I don't want to be in a croc-infested mangrove eating snails. All those things I don't want to do. Croc-infested mangrove, eating snails, or public nudity. All out.
No.
Not interested in any of it. You combine
the worst of them? Croc-infested?
Yeah, eating snails, you won't die. It's disgusting, I guess. And being naked, whatever. Might be embarrassing depending on what you got going on down there and how cold it is. But the croc thing is, you could die. The croc thing's the worst. Then the snails, then naked. That's the ranking of worst to best.
Yeah. Hey, in Newark, New Jersey, a find. Apparently, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents at Newark Liberty International Airport confiscated 9 pounds of bushmeat. Are you into bushmeat, Del?
There's a joke here.
Bushmeat is a raw or minimally processed meat from parts of animals, including bats, monkeys, cane rats, and antelope.
If I had asked you, are you into bushmeat before you had a description, what would you have said?
So,
what's it look like? What?
The meat, which comes from parts of Africa, is illegal to bring. No, duh.
Thanks for that.
What? Okay, does anybody want to start a new COVID? Is that what we're trying to do here? Bringing in animal parts, including bats, monkeys, cane rats, and antelope,
all the things
into this country?
Antelope is the only one I feel like wouldn't lead to a disease or a pandemic. The other ones are like, what are we doing?
Why would someone try to smuggle this in? What are you like? What, is there?
What's the
is
business
there a market?
Model? Yeah, what's the business model for that? People are looking for that.
I'm serious. What are you the selling? Hell is wrong with people?
Who are you selling that to?
This is the. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just can't.
I know it's not. It's sports related, but it is still weird. And Reginald sent it to me and Lance, so you didn't get to see it. There's a. I don't want to butcher his name, but there's a soccer player who decided he really wanted out from his team, so he showed up in the arch rival's uniform to try to piss the team off so they would trade him. You think that's what Deshaun's going to do? Show up in a Titans jersey to the facility and go, look, I really want out. I'm gonna let you know how bad I went out by wearing a Titans jersey.
If he wears another team's jersey to the stadium, I think it's a pretty good indicator.
Yeah, this guy wanted to get a transfer to, you know, just a different club, and he's like, let's see if I can wear. You know what they did? They didn't let him in.
They just didn't let him in.
He tried to get into the facility wearing the jersey, and like, no, you can't come in. It's like it would be like if Herman at the time when he was the coach was trying to keep Bijan Robinson from transferring to Alabama, and Bijan at the time decided to wear an Oklahoma jersey to the facility, and they said you can't come in wearing that because there are some places where you can't wear blue. Like if you're red, like Ohio State, I don't think they allow you to wear blue in the facility.
Well, no, why would you?
Because it's Michigan.
Yeah,
that is what that guy did. He decided to wear the rivals' colors.
Nice.
I can't fault him for it.
No, I can't.
You want out? You want out?
That's better than calling the owner a racist. I mean,
Yes.
I don't know.
That has happened.
That's happened too. 10:56, ESPN 97.5, Press Box is next. All the Casario you can take. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.